Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and I have Ryan McPherson here as my co-host. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Another terrific Tuesday and another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be very entertaining, I bet.
I think so. I can already feel the energy in this room. The buzz is quite palpable.
And this morning we have Jeff Cohen with Cohen, Cooper, Stephan, Allen. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
How are you doing this
morning? I'm doing fine. Glad to be here.
Good. We have Daryl Cohen with the same, Cohen, Cooper, Stephan, Allen.
Actually, we call him Miss Step many times, but great to be here and good morning.
Thank you for being here. And Luis Verguez with Sessoms and Verguez LLC. Did I say that right?
You said it correctly. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. And his partner, Kamala Sessoms, will be joining us in just a brief moment. And just to remind our listeners that our sponsors today are Peachtree Offices, as always, and 3A Law Practice Management. You can see their websites and a link to all their information on AtlantaLegalExperts.com. So thank you so much for tuning in, and thanks to our sponsors today.
Absolutely.
So I will start with Jeff. How you doing?
Pleased to. I'm fine. Fine. Glad to be here.
Jeff has been a tax and business attorney in Atlanta since 1982. He concentrates on representing individuals and small businesses in their disputes with the Internal Revenue Service and Georgia Department of Revenue. He also represents small businesses in non-tax corporate and contract matters. He received his BA from Duke University, magna cum laude, JD from the University of North Carolina, and master's in tax degree from Emory University. So you've just done a little bit.
When you get old, you do a lot.
Yes, you have the time to do it. So tell me, what are some of the myths and urban legends about the IRS that you can help dispel?
Well, one thing that's not a myth is the IRS is very scary to people. So if you're scared of the IRS, you have reason to be. But there are, of course, with anything, there's going to be some myths and urban legends. And what people think is not necessarily how things actually go. The myth is that if you fall behind with your taxes, they're going to take your house or going to put you in jail. Mm-hmm. And that rarely happens. Although people do lose their houses, people do go to jail, that is not going to happen immediately. So those are the first two things I want to dispel. And even though they are a government organization and even though they are scary,
intimidating,
they can work with you if you do it the right way and if you're lucky.
Right. So they can offer they offer payment plans, I know.
Theoretically, they do offer payment plans.
Theoretically.
Well, it's not something they're going to, they may give you the piece of paper and say, mm-hmm. would you like a payment plan? But the devil's in the details, of course.
Sure, sure. So tell me, what should a person do when they have not filed a tax return in many years? And I bet there's a lot of people out there that have not.
I've even been surprised at how many people have not filed tax returns. And in this country, you have to file a tax return. Mm-hmm. When I come across a potential client that has some ancient argument that we don't have to file a tax return or pay taxes, we send them to the door because we all know that you have to do that. If you haven't filed a tax return, number one, you're not alone. And number two, you should not try to handle it on your own. Although the IRS will talk with you, they speak English most of the time. Or if you speak Spanish, they do have Spanish-speaking people. But I recommend that if you have not filed a tax return, talk to an attorney. Talk to a tax attorney and find out what your options are and the different routes you can take. What I've found is that once a person does not file a tax return, they get scared and it gets easier to not file the return the next year.
The next year.
And it cascades, and I see a lot of people and businesses who started off just not filing one tax return for any one reason, doesn't matter what the reason is, and it becomes easier and easier, and we see so many people who have not filed in years.
Wow. I would just feel like that would just put even more pressure on you, like when you realize it's been years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So tell me, what should a person or business do if they owe taxes and receive a visitor call from the IRS?
And that will happen. Not infrequently, I'll get a call from somebody who said, I just opened my mailbox and saw a business card from the IRS, or I knocked. Somebody knocked on the door, mm-hmm. and an IRS agent was there. That will happen, although most of the time your first contact is going to be by mail. What should you do? My answer is say very little. Say as little as possible. Okay. Certainly, if two of them show up, you say absolutely nothing, because those are special agents who want to put you in jail. But if somebody visits you, get their business card. As my advice is to get their business card, say hello, shake their hand, and tell them your attorney will be in touch with them very soon and find out what they want.
And then call you.
Or call some tax attorney. I'm happy to take your call.
Very good. We're talking with Jeff Cohen here, Cohen Cooper, Estep & Allen. He's a tax business attorney in Atlanta since 1982. How do you keep doing taxes exciting?
My job is not to make it exciting. In fact, you would think I would get bored. I don't sit around reading tax books all day. Most of the time I'm dealing with either my client or somebody at the Department of Revenue or the IRS. And because it's the government, Ryan, you know they're going to be a little bit inefficient. They're going to make some mistakes. They're not going to call you back on time. And they're going to do stuff that surprises you. So they keep it interesting for me.
Right. Yeah. And so it's got to be interesting for you, because you're servicing your client up against the big entity of the IRS, the government. And so over the years, what have been some of your successes in fighting the IRS for your clients?
Well, thanks for that opportunity, because there's always a lot of failures. Oftentimes there's no way to completely win. But some of my successes on a daily basis are, and sometimes they bring tears to my eyes, if I have that client who's 75 years old and doesn't have any money, and the IRS is owed $100,000, and they want his Social Security and want to take the house, yeah. Getting that person into either a payment plan, or even better, what the IRS calls currently not collectible status, where although the person still owes money, the IRS will leave them alone. That's very rewarding. And occasionally we're able to do the offer and compromise program, where somebody who just has no chance of ever paying their tax back, we'll get them into a program where they can make an offer for maybe less than what they owe. As you've seen on the television commercials, occasionally that does work, and that brings some satisfaction to me. Some of my my proudest moments are when I'm able to handle an innocent spouse case successfully. And the innocent spouse case, as it sounds, would be the case where a husband and wife get divorced. And even though the tax might have been attributable to, say, what the husband did in his business, they are trying to collect the tax after the divorce from the ex-wife, who didn't owe it in the first place. But because they signed that joint return, they both owe it. And that's a fight. The IRS does not give up easily on that. And when I can successfully get somebody innocent spouse status, it's a very rewarding time.
Now, you talked about the advertisements that you see on TV. Tell me about some of the truth about the tax resolution companies and how can they really help you.
Well, Emily, I imagine they can help you. I've gotten a lot of clients that went to these tax resolution companies first. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that the biggest ones in the country, for the most part, have been put out of business by either the Federal Trade Commission or various state attorneys general, because they don't deliver what they promise to. They're a sales force. Mainly, they're populated. The workers there are former IRS agents, mm-hmm. who don't have any other marketable skills. No offense to them, but they will take your $4,000 or $6,000, sometimes more. You've never met them because they're in Colorado or California. They'll file some papers with the IRS that typically get rejected, and then the poor taxpayer is out of his money and still is nowhere. So if you see it on television, especially if it's a cartoon, but if they're advertising, they're not tax attorneys, obviously. Wouldn't you rather deal with somebody whose hand you can shake and whose office you can visit and who's governed by the State Bar of Georgia? So these companies don't have the best track record.
Especially when it's handling your money. I mean, you would want somebody that you could trust.
Or protecting
your
salary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So what are some of the worst things a business or a person could do if they are dealing with the IRS? Probably not file.
There's plenty of bad things, Emily. Our natural inclination is to explain things or want to talk to somebody. So if somebody calls you about a problem, whether it's a policeman or the Veterans Administration or your insurance company, you want to talk to them and explain your position. If it's the IRS, representing yourself is not necessarily the best thing to do, because you'll tell them something, they're going to write it down, they're going to record it, they're going to use it against you somehow. Oftentimes, they'll be very nice to you and say, well, where do you bank, where do you work, and ask a million questions after that, but they're going to find out where your bank is, take your money out of the bank account, find out where you work, and they're going to take your salary. So my advice is, don't do those worst things. Save very little. Talk to a tax attorney. Formulate a plan. Have the tax attorney do all the talking so they can control the flow of information and nothing is misrepresented to the IRS. You never want to lie to them.
So tell me, what else do you do, like what or how you got to where you are? Like, what led you to start working with taxes? And
that's a good question. Back in the old days, there were things that you younger people don't understand. They were called tax shelters, and successful, wealthy, semi-wealthy people would invest in tax shelters. Oftentimes, they were money-losing deals, but the tax write-offs from these tax shelters were wonderful, and doctors and high earners would invest in these things, and even though they lost their money, the tax losses would save them taxes. Congress changed these laws in 1984 and 1986, back in the old days where we wore suits and ties. I was with a law firm that was putting together tax shelters during those years, and of course I was a natural person they'd come to when the law changed and the IRS was knocking on the door of these poor people asking for thousands and thousands of dollars that they'd never thought they would owe. So that's how I kind of find myself doing the tax controversy work.
That's neat. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you being here today. And it was a little bit of a short notice, so we really are thankful that you're here.
It's been fun.
If you can share with our listeners how they could reach you, that would be great.
I have a website, www.irslawproblems.com. We also, Daryl and I, share a phone number, 404-814-0000. So we're right here in Atlanta, along the perimeter, and we're happy to talk to people. A phone consultation is always free.
That's easy to remember, the number. 0000. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I will go to Daryl Cohen. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And, you know, you have a very long bio, and I can't wait to share. And I was going to just kind of ask you some of the questions about what you've done and what you're doing now. If you don't mind,
go for it.
Guess that's
whatever
why you're
you
here.
Ask, I'll try to answer.
Okay.
Truthfully, by the way.
So you are an entertainment, media, and criminal defense and hospitality lawyer. And by the way, you are with Cohen, Cooper, Estep, and Allen attorneys. So tell me, how did you get into what you're doing today?
It's a long story, but very quickly, unlike most lawyers, I'm going to be very brief. Graduated law school and moved down to Miami because the weather was better than Atlanta, at least during the winter. And so I clerked, and then I went to the state attorney's office in Dade County, and they thought that paying us should be with sun, fun, beach, and palm trees. Unfortunately, I had rent and all that sort of thing to pay, and I had a great time, and everybody was getting arrested, and everybody was getting convicted, and I got to lay out. One of the greatest things I like to do was take photographs of myself in the pool in December, January, and February and send them to all of my friends north of where I was, which is pretty much everybody at every place. And then I moved back to Atlanta, went to the DA's office here, worked for Lewis R. Slayton, who's now deceased, unfortunately. Great boss, had a great time. And then I got tired of that, so pretty much at the same time, I started doing some acting and modeling, and I would go to various auditions, and everybody had a problem. But no one had a lawyer, and those that had a lawyer would say, he or she just doesn't understand me, because lawyers didn't understand that a gig was not a dance, it was a job, or a wrap was not something you wear, it was when you finished a gig. And slowly, I would go to auditions, and every once in a while, I actually got the audition and got the job, but most of the time, I came back with a client. So we started representing individual talent, whether it be an actor, an actress, or a model, and some talent agencies. And in fact, one of my fun old stories was that I was a terrible model, and I went to this talent agency, and they would never hire me and never send me out on an audition. And then they had a legal problem, and I took care of it. And all of a sudden, from the worst model ever in the history of the world, I became the best. So I learned quickly it wasn't who you know, but who knows you. And over the years, I began to represent a lot of people in the business. Fortunately, I was president of Screen Actors Guild locally and on the board of AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. And I became very involved in NATAS, which is the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the Emmy people, was mm-hmm. very involved locally, was president several times, and nationally I was the chairman for a while. That's the Daytime Emmy Awards, or the News and Documentary Awards, and the Sports Emmy. So it's been a fun ride. And then as on the criminal defense side,
I'm sure that keeps it entertaining.
Well, believe me, some people say criminal defense, entertainment, how do you combine? I said the truth of the matter is, in many instances, they're the same. Over the years, some of the higher profile people I've represented have been Lisa Lopez and Kid Rock and Neo.
Axl Rose,
yes, indeed. In fact, that's another great story. Axl didn't like the way his security people were being taken care of after they had had a concert downtown. And so he really was not grateful for the way that the Atlanta police were handling his security people. So Axl took it upon himself to make a flying leap onto the police officers. And
oh my gosh.
He was, of course, arrested.
Wow.
We received a retainer and went to court, but Axl was too busy to be in court. He was out of town. And we entered a plea of guilty for him. With him not being there, it's called a plea in absentia, but that's the boring part. He paid a fine, but the solicitor's office or the prosecutor's office in Fulton County for misdemeanors wanted more. So we, unbeknownst to Axl, as it turns out, made a $5,000 contribution to the City of Atlanta Police Department for bulletproof vests. And
wow.
Axl was given a key to stay away from the city. He was given a suspended sentence, and life was good. About a year later, I got a phone call from his then new business manager and said, "What went on with this $5,000 to the City of Atlanta?" I said, "It went on so your client could stay out of jail, out of prison, and continue to do whatever he does."
And out of Atlanta.
And out of Atlanta. Well, fast forward, when Bill Campbell was the mayor, Axl was trying to get a key to the city to come back and perform. And I had to remind the mayor's council, that Axl did have a key, but it was only for the jail if he walked in the city. So life was good. And so it's been a good ride.
Sounds like it. Sounds exciting.
It's very exciting. It's fun. It's sometimes very frustrating.
Sure, sure. So you named a lot of your bio just in that answer. So you did really good.
Short and sweet and to the point.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. So you've been on Fox News, CNN, Nancy Grace, a commentary for WSB and WXIA. So you're used to this.
Oh, well, the camera angle's not what I'm accustomed to. Yeah, I love being there. I think that so many lawyers don't really communicate. They're great lawyers and they do great jobs, mm-hmm. but they have to communicate. And I think it's important that the public understand that he or she as a lawyer is a good communicator as well. So I like being on air. And I've recently talked about the Boston bomber on MSNBC. And then we talked about Burl Ellis on XIA at early 100 in the morning. When your hit time is 6:30 in the morning, that means you have to get up way too early.
Sure, sure. And then Axl Rose on Atlanta Legal Experts Radio.
There you go. Indeed.
Very good. We're talking with Daryl Cohen. He's an attorney, media, criminal defense, and hospitality. Talk to us a little bit about that part of your practice, the hospitality portion.
I, on the side, because I get bored fairly quickly, I do a lot of meeting planning, and including in that meeting planning or the local Emmys, and I used to do the national Emmys, and also we do an entertainment, sports, and IP law conference this year at a very bad place. It's Cancun at the Ritz-Carlton, the 11th through the 15th of, you know, poor guys, and we'll have about 250 or 300 people there. And from the meeting planning, I go to what the industry calls trade shows. And you meet a number of people, the meeting planners, you meet the suppliers, that is the hotel people, and you meet the people who are the reps for the hotels. And from time to time, they will have a problem. They go in with or without a contract. They almost never utilize the services of an attorney because that would mean that they may not get the job. But once the honeymoon and the romance is gone, they may not have the same expectations that the suppliers had, so inevitably there's a divorce. And when there's a divorce, just as in family law, it's often not a good one. So they are left being owed money, and so we go back to the hotels and try to get the right amount of money for the clients. Or sometimes the clients are afraid that they may actually lose their job or may not get it, and they come to me and ask me what I should do because I'm the only lawyer they know who also is a meeting planner. So I know it, as I used to say to clients, I'm on both sides of the camera. And so I'm on both sides of the coin. I'm the heads and the tails, knowing pretty much what they have to worry about and what they shouldn't worry about. And we've represented people with palace resorts and pretty much Rio and numerous companies. And we have a good time with it. And fortunately, we must be doing a good job because the clients keep a coming.
That's good.
Yeah, you're jet setting to Cancun, hanging around high-profile celebrities, appearing on Atlanta Legal Experts. So when you're not in the spotlight, when you're away from work, what do you like to do to get motivated or stay inspired?
I'm a very high-energy person, and I like to be part of organizations. I'm part of NATAS, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. And from there, I get inspired by meeting people. For instance, because of NATAS, I represent, if you guys ever watch the Weather Channel, Jim Cantore.
Oh, yeah, he's a celebrity weather guy.
Oh, absolutely. And I represent the chief meteorologist of WAGA, Fox 5, David Chanley. And I've met these people either through NATAS or because of NATAS. You know, long story. Kind of cute, the vice president of Universal Pictures International many, many years ago, maybe 10 or 15, had a disagreement with the CEO, as did many people. And so the CEO stayed, the assistants left, and they got a platinum parachute, not gold, but platinum. Ended up in Atlanta, met him through the Emmy people. And he sent me a woman who was owed money by the Cobb County Symphony Orchestra. And being as knowledgeable as I am, I had no idea Cobb County had a symphony orchestra.
Yeah.
But this woman was owed a few thousand dollars. I was able to negotiate a settlement for her, and she was paid. Fast forward several years, I get a phone call. And this guy says, I'm Jim Cantore, and my neighbor says, you're a pretty good lawyer. I'd like to talk to you. And so 8 or 9 years later, Jim and I are good friends, and he's my client. It's fun. What do? I love to play tennis. Mm-hmm. I love to travel. And a lot of the travel that I do is what we call a site inspection, looking for places for our conference. And I do a little ski thing for the lawyers as well, and they get all of their continuing legal education. And you meet all these great people, and it gives you a tremendous sense of satisfaction to see all of these lawyers together. And you know that because of that, there's going to be business. I was talking to Louise earlier and said that a immigration lawyer friend of mine sent out a tweet and was Facebook and tweeted and all the good social media and said that people say I go to these conferences for nothing. But last week I received a phone call from an entertainment lawyer who said, you probably don't remember me, but we met on the dance floor at the Ritz-Carlton in Cancun during the Entertainment and Sports Law Conference. And this lawyer sent me one of the best cases I've had in a long, long time. So
That's
it
great.
Gives you great satisfaction.
Yeah. It sounds like throughout your career, you've found where there's lacking, basically, and you just happen to be there, and it just kind of works out for you. It's great.
Well, I believe in a phrase that Mesh Domir, who was the GM of the old Nico before it became the Grand Hyatt, used to say, make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you have to make it happen.
Absolutely.
If you wait for people and things to come to you, it doesn't happen.
No.
Or at least you have no control over it.
So briefly tell me a little bit more about Cohen, Cooper, Estep, and Allen. What other fields of law do they represent?
Well, it sort of reminds me of when Michael Coles was the person in charge of films in Georgia before our tax credits, and he said he went to North Carolina and he asked the governor, what is it you do to get all these films here? And the governor's answer was everything. So let me analogize that to Cohen Cooper, Estep, and Allen, and we do pretty much everything. Larry Cooper does personal injury and business litigation, as does Jeff Allen does business litigation. Steve Estep has represented the Hawks and Guerin, and he was instrumental in the sale of the Hawks. So we do a lot. We do family law, which I think should be called family wars. I think it's a complete misnomer. Once people have gotten to a divorce area, they forget that they loved each other at one point in time.
Sure.
We do pretty much everything.
Which one of you Cohens is on the name of the title of the firm there?
Well, we'd like to say it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We all answer the phone.
Good answer. Yeah, definitely. So that's good. Well, Emily, I think this is great. You've got a great mix of attorneys here representing a wide variety of fields out there. So far, so good with today's show.
So too. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So if you'll let our listeners, Daryl, know how they can reach you.
It's easy. It's Cohen Cooper, Estep, and Allen. You look for City View, which is the best view of the city. If you're looking south, now they've got this horrendous construction going on near us. And you just dial 404-814-0000, and we are not a bunch of zeros, just the phone is.
Great, thank you so much. And just to remind our listeners, we're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. Our sponsors today are Peachtree Offices and also 3A Law Practice Management. Both of those companies help attorneys establish their practice, build their practice in the Atlanta area. So you can see their information on our website at atlantalegalexperts.com. Thank you again. And thank you to Luis Verguez. I'm just going to butcher it.
No, you said it perfectly, actually.
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And he is with Sessoms & Verguez, LLC. It's a boutique law firm focusing on immigration and criminal law. Their practice is tailored to work closely to provide a seamless process for clients with the personal attention... For clients who have both criminal matters and immigration matters, we strive in providing clients with the personal attention needed following the arrest of a family member or after a serious car accident. Our immigration practice focuses on representing clients on all aspects of U.S. immigration law, from personal and individual matters to corporate immigration needs. Wonderful.
Thank you.
And how did you get into where you are today?
Good question. Well, first of all, I'm first generation in this country. I'm originally from Venezuela. I moved here when I was 6 years of age. So I like to say I know the process of immigration from a personal perspective, but I was really young, actually. But I do have the knowledge of being from another place, and I do have that multicultural background that kind of helped me decide to do immigration. I also went to school at a place where it was a really big, we had a really big clinic, Arizona State University. That's where I went to law school. And I really fell in love helping in that clinic. It was more of the stuff I don't do now, a lot of humanitarian stuff that it's a little difficult to get into.
Sure.
But I really enjoyed it. And when I got out of school, it made sense to do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So tell me, we talked to you, you do immigration law. What aspects of immigration law do you practice?
We practice all aspects of immigration law. My passion is removal defense. But as you stated earlier, we do, we handle business immigration. We also handle student visas. We do a lot of e-visas for investors from different countries that have treaties with the United States. We like to do L-visas, which are intercompany transfers, H-1Bs, which are specialized workers. But we do a lot of removal defense, and that comes into effect when someone might have a residency or don't have any status in this country. They might be here with what we call a non-immigrant visa, a visa where they intend to return to their country. It's temporary for whatever purpose they're here for. Are accused of committing a crime or commit a crime and are put in what we call removal proceedings. That is to expel you from the country based on the concept of for committing that crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we enjoy doing the most. We spend a lot of time in court defending individuals from removal defense.
And so, obviously, the immigration and criminal defense kind of went hand in hand, kind of like the entertainment with Daryl, and criminal defense went hand in hand with him. Is that what you find?
Yeah, absolutely. My partner and I handle a lot of criminal matters as well. We handle mostly stuff that would affect your immigration status. We do a lot of DUIs, drug charges, and domestic violence here and there. A lot of those crimes can land you in removal proceedings. Mm-hmm. Not per se much DUIs, but drug charges, even if it's single possessions, any charge of that has to do with domestic violence can land you in immigration proceedings. So between my partner and I, we like to handle those, and sometimes it turns into immigration cases.
Sure, sure.
I was speaking with Luis Verguez. He is an immigration attorney. And so there's a lot of changes going on out there in immigration law these days. How do you stay current and up to date on what is happening out there with changes in the law?
Well, we try to keep up with current events as much as possible. You know, my partner and I belong to a very good organization, which is a national organization called American Immigration Lawyers Association, which do a very good job of lobbying for pro-immigration moves through the government, and also keep us very informed with what's going on. We also do a lot of continuing legal education with them. So we try to do that, to stay in touch with immigration. The thing about immigration, Ryan, that most people don't understand is a lot of people that are not in law think it's very simple, that but it's actually extremely complicated because law changes almost on a daily basis, particularly when you're practicing immigration. If it comes from the removal side of the things or perhaps employment-based immigration, we like to say we have one foot in the grave already, because unfortunately we're in at a time where immigration law is kind of frowned upon, and you have situations like going on right now with the presidential campaign, certain candidates being very vocal about their views about immigrants, and unfortunately everybody is put in the same category. There's a very big stereotype: everyone's Mexican, everyone crossed the border. But like we do in our office, we handle all sorts of cases, immigration cases, and we're seeing issues with employment-based stuff as well. Like, for example, H-1B, specialized workers, there's only a quota for 60,000 of those per year. And you have to file them by April 1st. Well, by April 1st, the quota has been met. So what do you do with the people that are qualified to be here in the United States that can actually help the economy and are doing jobs where there's a lot of limited positions for that we can't fill with the people that we have here? What do you do with those people? Unfortunately, they have to wait for the next cycle if they don't fall for an exception. So the situation with the immigration laws right now is not just in removal defense or the 11 to 13 million illegal people that have no status. We have issues with professionals as well.
Yeah, you know, immigration is a hot button social issue out there. People are constantly hearing about it in the news. Do you believe there will be comprehensive immigration laws passed in the future?
I definitely believe so. Now, the question is when.
Right.
I mean, I've been waiting for that since I got out of school about 6 years ago. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet, but we do see it happening. Perhaps it'll happen before the next presidential elections. Of course, the Latino vote's a very big vote. It definitely helped President Obama this last election. We expect it to be even bigger now, with more people becoming naturalized or people becoming of age of Latino descendants or any other descendants.
Yeah, there is no real easy answer to it all. It needs to be dissected and kind of put together on a lot of different levels. And so those changes that we all are hoping for may not come as quickly as we want because it is such a complicated issue.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see that, like you say, like you just said it, Ryan, with the regulation that President Obama just tried to pass, the so-called DAPA, to help parents of U.S. citizens get some kind of status. Well, that got shut down in the Fifth Circuit, and then it got appealed, and that got shut down. So that's going to go straight to the Supreme Court. That might get heard after President Obama leaves office, so that might be a moot issue by then. But the current administration has definitely tried to make some changes. It's a very broken system, not just in removal or people with no status like we discussed, but also for professionals, people that studied here, have very high degrees. So we're expecting a change sometime, hopefully sooner rather than later.
We see a lot of times, though, the laws are already in place. They're just not being enforced. And so how can we get better at enforcing the laws that are already on the books?
That's a very good question, Ryan. The situation with that, let me give you a good example about that. We have a few memos that are having gone through ICE, which is ICE and Customs Enforcement, which are the people that detain individuals for certain crimes or whatnot. ICE has internal memos that are given to us that we can, where we see how they enforce and who they detain. Well, a lot of these detention memos they have are supposed to be for people that commit serious crimes. But unfortunately, they're using these memos to detain the single mother that got caught with a driver's license that has three children at home that's put in removal proceedings, and it's in a detention center 3 hours away. So even some of the memos that are coming from the government were saying these are the people that we're targeting are not being used for those purposes.
Right.
So that is a very good question. Unfortunately, it's a very gray area, and it's open to interpretation depending who you are.
Yes, and now we have Kamala Sessoms joining us. Good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good.
So
good.
If you could tell me, how did you get into immigration law and how did you two meet? And
sure. Well, it was interesting because I initially started, my career started doing criminal defense. I was a public defender in Fulton County, doing mostly misdemeanor offenses. And I wanted to expand outside of criminal. And so I started doing my own research and decided I really wanted to do immigration, and got active in the American Immigration Lawyers Association and actually volunteered at a citizenship day at the Latin American Association. And that's where I met Mr. Verguez for the first time. And he was interested in learning a little bit more about criminal. And so we both decided to kind of interact with one another, and he came downtown to Fulton County, where of course it's very busy all the time in court. So he got to observe, you know, plea arraignments and different types of court proceedings. And he was getting a lot of phone calls for people who were getting basic traffic charges that had immigration issues as well. And so it started kind of, we just started working together, and it kind of just developed into what we have today, which has been really good. It's very interesting because a lot of criminal things start out and then people will then get transferred to immigration and they have immigration issues. So, and the criminal charges that they have may have an effect on their immigration status. Mm-hmm. And it may or may not require them to have like a full trial in immigration. So it's been very, very interesting. And a lot of the issues, especially if they're felony charges, can be very, very complicated. So
sure.
I've done a lot of studying on it, and it's been very enjoyable.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So tell me, where are you guys located?
We are right off of Buford Highway, actually right between Cheshire Bridge, Lenox Road, and North Druid Hills.
Very close.
Very close to the Latin American Association. So we're very happy that they've created sidewalks now so people can walk, and they have, you know, really good bus service. So you can take the bus to get to our office. We're at the Druid Chase office building. So yes, it's very convenient, and love to have people, you know, we take drop-in, walk-in visits as well, so.
Wonderful, and thank you so much for being here. I would love for you to tell the listeners how they can reach you.
Absolutely, well, you can reach us via phone at 404-315-7222, and you can also reach us at our website, which is www.svlawusa.com.
Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
It's been a good show.
Yes, it's been very good. We learned a lot about all the different issues going on out there, everything from entertainment law and immigration to taxes as well. I think our listeners are quite pleased with the information they're getting here today on Atlanta Legal Experts.
Yes. And I thought we have a couple minutes left. We could open up for a roundtable discussion. If anybody has any questions for any of the other attorneys, I'd say go ahead and get started.
I have a question for Luis.
Sure.
If he has a right not to answer.
Got my attorney right here.
You mentioned you're in court with some of your immigration clients, what courtroom, what type of court would handle these cases?
That's a very good question. It's part of the Department of Justice, this Executive Office of Immigration Review, which is...
It's an administrative law court?
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the immigration as well. Would you advise someone who is in this country and not a citizen yet to be proactive in getting their immigration status, or do they wait till they get in trouble before they come and see you?
Ideally, you should be proactive and search for an attorney that might be able to open your eyes to a possibility of getting some kind of status, but that's why it's ideally. We get a lot of people that come to us after they've allegedly committed a crime or anything of that nature. So yeah, if you are if you're here in this country and you might be here with a non-immigrant visa, you want to change your status, or perhaps you came here when you were a child and your parents brought you and you don't know what your status is or what you can do about it, come see us. Go see an immigration attorney. It's very important that you find out if you have a pathway to citizenship, because that is the ultimate goal, Ryan, is citizenship. Mm. Because as a citizen of the United States, you don't have to worry about possible deportation. People with residencies think they're like citizens, unfortunately put themselves in certain situations and could land mm-hmm. in a detention center in Louisiana or even worse, Lumpkin, Georgia, which is right at the border of Alabama.
Go ahead, Jeff. I think you have a question that you want to ask.
It's not a question. It's just a recent success that not only I but our entire firm shared in. I am not a litigator by training, and sometimes our tax cases have to go to court. Well, fairly recently, we had a client, a lady whose husband worked with her in their business, and he died and he owed a lot of tax, and without notifying her, the Georgia Department of Revenue seized over $300,000, close to $380,000 from this lady's bank account. And it was mostly life insurance proceeds from her husband's passing. Anyway, the Department of Revenue, in my opinion, forgot that there were laws that govern how you assess people with tax and how you collect it, and they just went ahead and took the money. Well, it was devastating to this lady.
Sure.
And our conversations with the Department of Revenue got us nowhere, of course. Once they have the money, they're not going to give it back. They're going to look at somebody else to say yes. So I got one of my partners, Jeff Allen, involved in the case, and we actually had to file a lawsuit on behalf of the widow against the Georgia Department of Revenue. And after a couple of years of taking that into Cobb County Superior Court, this time not U.S. Tax Court, but Cobb County Local Court, we got the money back for her, and we're quite happy about
that's
that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Awesome. Anybody else have any recent successes or announcements they want to make?
No. Well, yes. When you represent a client, especially a high-profile client, in a criminal defense matter, so many lawyers think that what you need to do is be adversarial and vicious. The reality is, about 95% of the time, if you meet with the prosecutor, you try to help your client without being adversarial and without being viciously adversarial, and your client will come out far better than if he or she goes to trial, or if you tell the prosecutor where to go, give him or her directions, and then who loses? Your client. So I think that if I can impart one bit of wisdom to people who are charged with a crime, whether it's possession of the evil weed, whether it's a DUI, regardless of what it may be nice, look for an attorney, whoever he or she is, who has expertise, but who has the right personality to be adversarial without being an adversary.
And I'm going to chime in because that is so true. I actually had a client who was arrested in Fulton County, had a warrant outstanding in Marietta, and it was a similar situation. Basically, he was very worried because he also had an immigration matter, and he was worried that he was going to get picked up in Cobb County and then possibly be deported. And I was able to get a good rapport with the prosecutor, and he actually suggested to reduce the DUI that he had in Marietta to a reckless. So it was really good just to have, you know, he was a very, I had never met the prosecutor before, but if I had gone in there and kind of been like, you know, you need to get this warrant off because they shouldn't have issued the warrant in the first place, mm-hmm. I think the tone would have been completely different. So sure. It's really good to be able to have a good rapport and talk to the prosecutors as they're humans. Because sometimes people get really worked up, but it's not to your client's advantage. So I completely agree with you on that.
And I would imagine also when you're looking for an attorney that you would want to talk to several attorneys mm-hmm. and see who you have a good rapport with.
That's very important.
There may be some that y'all just don't get along.
Mesh, right.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, and they know. And then it's just like sometimes if you know you and the client are just not really on the same page, sometimes you just have to take the step and say, like, you know, maybe you should go get a second opinion because mm-hmm. I don't want to be the person that you think, like, at the end of the day is, you know, telling you something that you don't agree with. So
right.
It's just kind of client management, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the clients appreciate that.
I have a question for Daryl here. You're a guy who followed your passion in life and carved out a real niche for you and your career. Any advice you would give to a young lawyer out there who's looking to make their way into this field?
Absolutely. I think the first thing for a young lawyer is he or she does not have any heavy burdens. Not married, doesn't have kids, may owe student loans, but that's it. Do what you want to do. Be honest, be ethical. Always tell the truth, and I tell people all of the time, if you tell the truth, you never have to worry about your memory. You don't have to remember what you said.
Right.
And if you realize what you want to do, go for it. And sometimes an overnight success means 10 or 15 or 20 years, and then you burst on the scene. But just spread yourself, and remember the word no is spelled K-N-O-W, not N-O. So right. The more people that know you, not the more people you know, but the more people that know you will be of great benefit to you.
I think that's great advice, Emily. I think everyone could piggyback on that in their career field, whatever they may choose, be it an attorney or a talk show host like you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a great ending note for the show, and we appreciate our listeners and our sponsors at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. This is Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices signing out.